Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy 3. In verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is God-breathed, and it is also good for instruction in righteousness. Remember, righteousness is not merely right standing with God. It's the relationship that produces the right standing with God. You get it through scripture. It is God-breathed. That means that there is no error in scriptures. They are what we call inerrant. There is no error in scriptures. If it's the word of God, it's correct. If it's the word of God in John 17:17, it's truth. You cannot make an error by turning to the scriptures, because the scriptures came directly from God. There are those people who will argue scriptures were written by people. It's one of the dumbest arguments I've ever heard, because there's a lot of bosses who'll dictate their letters and things to a secretary. Why is that no longer the boss's note, but the secretary's? It's that silly, it's that foolish, that argument. No, all scripture comes directly from God. Yes, it was written down by people, but it comes directly from God. They heard from the Holy Spirit. They wrote down what they heard. It is God-breathed. In Romans 3:4, the Word of God says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." In Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Now, we say to ourselves, nothing is impossible. But it is impossible for God to lie. Because in John 4:16, He is the truth. God defines truth. He doesn't yield to truth. He defines it. He is the reason why it is true. It comes from Him. Anything that comes from God is truth. Anything that does not come from God is a lie. It's that simple. Sometimes we think of truth as a matter of fact or not fact. Facts and truth are different things. Sometimes we don't recognize that, but they are. Facts and truth are different things. Truth is that which comes from God. Facts are data. Facts are things that we observe, analyze, we collect this information, we process this information, and we come to a conclusion. And because it's based in empirical evidence, which means evidence outside of ourselves, things we can see or hear or touch, because it's based in empirical evidence, we will call it fact. There's a problem with facts. Actually, there's several problems with facts. Number one, we don't know that they actually are facts. There was a study done on human perception. Human perception is the basis of fact. In this study, researchers were in New York, in Manhattan, in front of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And they staged a mugging. They also had participants in the study who posed as police officers. And so they staged a mugging. It was not a real mugging. They staged it as though it was real. It was in public, plenty of people around. A guy mugged a lady. And then the police came shortly thereafter. The police then, so-called police, the researchers, interviewed the witnesses. Every witness said something different, although they were eyewitnesses. Every witness had different accounts down to the details What race was the person? Was it a man or a woman? What clothes were they wearing? They couldn't even agree on the color of the clothes. When I worked at the hospital, the head of security for the hospital was a retired police detective. He was a homicide detective. He told me one time they never look for witnesses to be the final authority. They always need evidence to support what the witnesses say, because witnesses are not that reliable. The reason is because of human perception. Human perception does not tell you what the facts are. Human perception tells you how you, in the makeup of your own mind, and this is not a fault, this is simply the way the brain works, how you, in the makeup of your own mind, interpret the data that your brain has received from your ears and eyes and feeling and things like that. So what we call fact is actually a subjective interpretation, but we call it objective because it's empirical. Scientists have the same problem, although they try to control it more. They come up with interpretations of data, but the interpretation of data is always based on a premise. In other words, they assume that certain things are correct, and then they interpret the data against those assumptions. The interpretation may be right, the interpretation may be wrong, but it's always just an interpretation. It doesn't stand alone in and of itself as a fact. That's one of the reasons, just in science, every 4 years, half of what we thought we knew becomes obsolete or we realize it was incorrect. So, what about these facts? The fact is, so to speak, facts are not reliable. Truth is 100% reliable. Facts come from ourselves, ultimately. Truth comes from God. And so, God said He is the truth. He is the source of all truth. He can't lie because He defines truth. A lie is that which is not truth. But being truth, all truth comes from Him. Now, in Matthew 9:28, Jesus was in the synagogue and a blind man came to Him. And Jesus asked the blind man who wanted to be healed, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" That was a really good question. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? When Lazarus died and his sisters were distraught, Jesus came after he died purposely and he said, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked, "Do you believe this?" Now, why is he asking that? Because he is the truth. What he says is the truth. The truth is defined by him, by his words. So he is asking, do you believe the truth? Or do you believe your own perceptions? Do you believe the things you can understand when they come up against the truth? Which do you believe? Do you believe that even though Lazarus is dead, I can raise him from the dead? Do you believe this? Yes, he is dead. Evidence says he is gone. It is done. It is over. But Jesus is saying to her, no, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? We have to answer that question also. Do you believe this? It's a very important question. You receive the Word of God. The Word of God is true. Do you believe this? It came from God, but do you believe? If you believe, things will happen. If you don't believe, you're going to be stuck in self-orientation. What do you believe? Do you believe it? In 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Word of God says that all promises of God in Him are yes and amen. Amen means so be it. Everything God promised is, yes, I will do it. Yes, so be it. Let it happen. I said it. It will happen. Yes. Do you believe it? Because quite frankly, the vast majority of Christians do not believe the Word of God. They say they do, but in reality, they don't. Why? Look at their lives. If Christians believed the Word of God, we would be living in a very different world. If Christians believed in the Word of God, there wouldn't be self-orientation. If Christians believed the Word of God, we wouldn't have hang-ups, we wouldn't have insecurity issues, we wouldn't have self-image issues, we wouldn't have issues with sin, we wouldn't have issues with our emotions, we wouldn't have issues with self-control. None of these things would exist if we actually believed the Word of God. Why? All of the promises are yes. All the promises are so be it. No matter what it is, there is a promise from God for it. Do you believe it? And religiously we'll say, oh yes, I believe the Word of God. I know I don't always experience it, but I believe it. No. If you're not experiencing it, the only reason is because it hasn't become your frame of reference, and it's not your frame of reference because, Romans 10:17, you did not believe it. Sometimes we say to ourselves, my reality, my experience, what I'm feeling is more real to me than the Word of God. That's a severe mistake. But people do that. What I'm experiencing is more real to me than the Word of God, or it's on an equal plateau. Yes, I have the Word of God. Yes, I trust it. But this other thing also, and it's right there, equal in magnitude, equal in weight, equally important, equal in effect. That's not how it is. That's how we make it to be. But that's not how it is. And then we can pick and choose what we decide to believe. God says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? God gives you a promise. All the promises of God are true. All the promises of God will come to pass. All the promises of God are 100% reliable. God cannot lie. Do you believe the promises of God? People get very anxious about problems in their life. Do you believe the promises of God? People get very upset about circumstances. Do you believe what God has said? Well, you don't understand, and I'm a human, and I have reason. You're simply saying, and you can say it in whatever terms you want. You can give it any kind of rationalization you like. The bottom line of it, and this is from God, and yes, you will hear this at the Bema Seat, you simply don't believe. That's it. Your circumstance is not your issue. Your relationships are not your issue. Your self-image is not your issue. Your emotions are not your issue. Whatever it is you want to throw out there, that's not the issue. The issue is, do you believe this? Every word of God is God-breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine. That means it's profitable for thinking. It's profitable for correcting my thinking when it's not right. It's profitable in teaching me how to have a relationship that is alive and vibrant and effective with God. Do you believe this? The majority, by far, of Christians will say, if they were honest, but they're not, they're too religious. No, I don't believe this. And that's why they have the problems they have. Every problem that a person has is caused by unbelief. I'm not saying things like health issues or something like that. Problems are things that we choose. Health issues are things that we can be tested with. But every problem a person has comes down to unbelief. Why? Because if I believe, in Romans 5:2, I will enter into grace. If I enter into grace, I enter through first the unmerited, unobstructed acceptance that I have from God. The next thing I will encounter is His unrelenting kindness. And that will bring me to His throne. And it becomes the government in my heart. If I have God's word, God's throne, God's grace, God's character as the government in my life, then there is no such thing as a problem. But it is entered by believing. If I don't believe, I don't have grace. Grace is available. Grace is available. Grace is given. But it's not possessed by the one who doesn't believe. Do you believe? You have to ask yourself this. Do you believe? You're told, examine yourself to see if you're in the most holy faith. Do you believe? Do you believe that God is the solution to all problems? Then why aren't you drawing close to Him in your problems? Why don't people take God seriously? And they say, oh, I take God seriously. No, you don't. Not if you don't believe. You don't take Him seriously at all. You think He's a liar if you don't believe Him. He said it. Was He lying? And if people actually answered honestly rather than religiously, the vast majority of the time, they would say, yeah, I do think He's a liar. Because they don't believe Him. Learn to believe Him. He is extremely reliable. Learn to believe Him. He cannot in any way lie. Learn to believe Him. He cannot deceive you. He cannot fail you. He cannot tell you anything other than the absolute truth. He defines it. Learn to believe Him. In your circumstances, when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with yourself, learn to believe Him. Because if you don't believe Him, you are, by definition, completely deceived. But most Christians, honestly, are indeed, except for being saved, completely deceived. Because they don't believe Him. Circumstances come that challenge you to show you whether you believe Him. That's the number one reason for them. Every single circumstance that is challenging, that is God's first question. Do you believe? Because without that answer, forget the circumstance, nothing's going to happen in your life. There are people who can spend years and years, decades even, in the same hang-up, same problem, same place, same condition, same thinking, same issues, the whole nine yards. They don't believe him. And they are content to leave it at unbelief. A few people, if you ask them, do you believe him? And they'll think about it and say, well, in truth, no, I don't believe him. And they leave it there. They do nothing to correct it. So they're content in their unbelief. They're content in their loss. They're content in Satan robbing them of their life that God has given them as a gift. And they let Satan take it away like it's nothing, like it's completely valueless, when it is the absolutely most valuable thing that God could give you. But you don't believe. Don't look for victory if you're not going to believe. Don't look for overcoming if you're not going to believe. Don't look for hope if you're not going to believe. Don't look for joy or happiness or contentment or satisfaction or even a healthy relationship in any area of your life if you're not going to believe. Do you believe this? Sometimes somebody blames everybody and their cousin and nobody can do the right thing. No circumstance can be just so. Nothing can be right in their life and they blame everything. Did you ever notice that that person is the common denominator? And that's not to condemn, that is to wake up. You don't believe, so you're losing your life from unbelief. You're losing your relationships for unbelief. You're losing your opportunities for unbelief. You're losing your hope, your joy, your contentment for unbelief. You're making the sacrifice of fools. Learn to believe. If a situation comes against you, don't look at the situation, look at the answer. People focus on the problem and ignore the answer. Stop ignoring the answer. You don't need to focus on the problem. But when people don't believe, life becomes all about them. When life is all about you, there's no joy in life because you're not the source of joy. But do you believe? That's the thing. Do you believe? And they'll have to say, no, I don't believe. And some of them, even with a message like this, some of them will say, well, I don't believe. And then they completely do nothing to fix it. And they'll keep blaming everything and everyone. And they do nothing to fix it. They've thrown away what God has given. But they call themselves Christians. You know, you're a Christian because you believe. So why not be a Christian? In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That means that there is nothing in heaven, nothing on earth that God cannot deal with. God says that I am in Christ. I'm seated above in heavenly places. I'm accepted in the beloved. Every promise of God is right there for me. All power is given unto God, and yet I act like God doesn't even exist. I think like God doesn't even exist. I respond like God doesn't even exist. I live in the weakness of my own soul like God doesn't even exist. But if you believe, the fact is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The fact is, that no matter what circumstances come my way, no matter what my relationships are like, no matter who, what, where, when, anything of that sort, anything that I have to deal with, I can overcome it in a nanosecond. People can be delivered from decades of hang-ups in a split second, simply by believing Him. If I change my mind from unbelief and I start to believe, victory is almost instant. Even overcoming things that I've been struggling with for years and years can be healed instantly. People say, well, you know, there's things like chemical imbalances and physical problems and stuff. Years ago, I knew a guy. He was in our church. And prior to being saved, for I think it was like 10 or 15 years, he had been a heroin addict. He got saved and received the Word of God, never even suffered withdrawal. He was delivered instantly. Never another shot of heroin, never even the desire for it. What happened to this guy? He believed. Now, I'm not saying that God won't use doctors and treatment centers and all that. Certainly He will. But this guy simply believed and was completely delivered in a split second. He believed. God can do the same thing for you. He has all power. He has all ability. You have issues. God can take care of your issues. Why are you so focused on the negatives that you completely forget the truth? Because that's what people do when they don't believe. If all I have is my opinions, if all I have is my emotions, if all I have is my own self-centered perceptions, then what positive thing is there to focus on? Nothing. Of course you're going to focus only on the negatives if that's your condition. But you know what? Every word of God is God-breathed. All the promises are yea, amen. God cannot lie. He is the truth. Stop living in the delusion of a lie. And what is in fact psychosis. And believe Him. The moment you believe Him, you're going to experience amazing deliverance. But, so many Christians will hear a message like this, say, yeah, you know what, you're right, I don't believe. Oh well, not much I can do about that. Spiritually lazy. It's all your choice. It's all your choice. Deuteronomy 30:19. It's all your choice. Moses said, I set before you this day life and death and blessing and cursing. Therefore, if you can't figure it out, I'll help you. Choose life. You choose it. You choose what you believe. You choose what you focus on. You choose what you meditate on. You choose what you dwell on. You're choosing. Why don't you try choosing believing so that you can be delivered? Do you believe? You gotta answer the question. Even by default, you will answer the question. If you try not to answer the question, you're answering the question. You don't have the choice. You have to answer the question. Do you believe? Jesus kept asking people, do you believe this? I'm able to raise the little girl from the dead. Do you believe this? Don't be afraid. Just believe. He said, simply believe. That's all. That's all you got to do. You just got to believe. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that's the smallest seed, and then there's some person who thinks they know something, and they will say, no, mustard seeds are actually pretty big seeds. They're not the smallest seed. Mustard seeds are not the same as mustard seeds today. It's a different plant. What is called mustard today is not what was called mustard back then. A little bit of isagogics. It's the smallest of the seeds. And then you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Now, do you believe that? The vast majority of Christians would have to say, no, I don't believe. But God can't lie. God said it, and He can't lie. Do you believe that God can take care of your finances? Oh, you don't understand. I have to strive and struggle and be very anxious because I don't know how things are going to go. You don't know? You don't believe, you mean? That's the problem. I don't know what I'm going to do about this situation. I can't handle that circumstance. This thing's making me insane. I'm so confused. I have no idea what I should be doing next. Only believe. The steps of the just man are ordered by the Lord. If you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll direct your path. Only believe. That's all it takes, is believe Him. If you believe Him, you will apply what He says. If you apply what He says, you'll find that He is faithful. But do you believe? You've got to answer it. Do you believe? Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.